We all want to be successful, don't we? We don't think anyone would honestly say that they would want to be a failure. Well, this is Stephen Medford, and I'm your host this morning for the Monday edition of Mornings for the Master. And we've recently looked at the life of Joseph, and we focused on the phrase at the end of Joseph's life where God meant it for good in Genesis chapter 50. And we looked back at his life and saw the things that God meant for good and how they worked out for good. Well, today I want us to look at the life of Joseph again. And really, I've just come up with a number of words that start with the letter F that show the type of person Joseph was and shows why God could work in Joseph's life like he did. And if we want to be successful, it's going to depend upon us living with God so that God will work in our lives. Success doesn't just happen in life. We may plan to be successful. We may plan to succeed. But even the best plans don't take into account everything that can go wrong. The truth is, good planning needs good follow-through to be successful. If you were to look at successful people in the Bible, I don't think you could find any more successful person than Joseph from an earthly standpoint. Solomon was a great success, but he started as a king and went up from there, and then he had a downfall, of course. But Joseph was a slave, thrown in prison, yet everywhere he went, he was successful. Now, I'm not going to go through the account of Joseph. We all know that, just like last time. I don't want to take the time to go through it. You can read it for yourself if you want to, in Genesis, starting in chapter 37, all the way to chapter 50. I feel like we get it a lot in other sermons and Bible classes if you're a faithful member of God's church. But I will use his account for this lesson, believing you already understand enough of the things I'm talking about. We are just going to pick out certain characteristics about Joseph that made him a success everywhere he went, and then try to incorporate these things into our own lives on your own. The first thing that I came up with is probably the most obvious thing, that Joseph was faithful to God. He was a faithful person. Whenever he was entrusted with anything, he did it to the best that he could. Consider the fact that he was faithful to his earthly father. His father employed him at the young age of 17 to be a shepherd for his flock. And during this time, whenever he saw misconduct with his brethren, he reported it to his father. He didn't fear his older brothers, who were, of course, older than him, and they outnumbered him. But he did what was right. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, we see that he brought back an evil report of his brethren. And this is one reason his brethren didn't like him. Also, we see later on when he was sent by his father to see how his brothers were, he seems to be willing and eager to go, even though he knew his brothers hated him. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 13. Not only this, but when he went as far as his brothers said, he did not immediately go home. I remember he went to Shechem, where his brethren were supposed to be, but he couldn't find them there, and so he asked around trying to figure out where they were, and he finds out they went to Dothan, and so he goes on to Dothan to find them. He didn't come back to his father and say, I've done what my father said, and they were not where they were supposed to be, so I gave up. He searched further and went the extra mile. He did his best to fulfill his father's desire, going on to Dothan. Genesis chapter 37, verses 16 and 17. So he was faithful to his father. Then we see he was sold as a slave. He was bought by Potiphar. And in Potiphar's house, the Lord blessed him greatly. And everything Joseph did, God blessed him with. So Potiphar gave him charge over everything. We see this in Genesis chapter 39, verses 3 and 6. Do you think this would have happened if Joseph only worked half-heartedly with everything that he did? If it were observable that Joseph was lazy and God still prospered him, it seems Potiphar may have thought that it was just a circumstance. But he saw Joseph doing these things and good things happening. And the same thing happened in prison. In chapter 39, verses 22 and 23, we see everything he did prospered, and so the prison guard put him in charge of everything in the prison. I remember certain things about the speeches that were given to me at my baccalaureate back when I graduated from high school and from college. And when I graduated from college, the man said three words were his secret to success. And he said those three words were, "and then some." He said he started small, and I don't remember exactly what he was doing, but it was something like flipping burgers at Burger King or something like that. And he said that he did everything the boss told him to do, and then some. And no matter what he did, he was noticed, and he was promoted for being such a hard worker, always going the extra mile, doing things to clean up when he wasn't asked to, and so forth. And it seems Joseph was just like this. He wanted to please his master. He was faithful to his master no matter where he was, whether it was his father, whether it was Potiphar, whether it was the prison guard. And this is exactly what the Bible says. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for man." And again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going." Again, in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." And so the first point that we make here is that Joseph was faithful. He was faithful no matter where he was. He was faithful in any circumstances. You can imagine people being disheartened when they're sold by their brethren to slavery. But even in Potiphar's house, he didn't let that get him down. He was still working hard for Potiphar. When he was accused of wrongdoing and sent to prison, he was still working hard in prison. So he was faithful. He was faithful to whomever he served, but we also notice that he served one person above everyone else, and that is he served God. And so for the second point, I have here that he feared God. In fact, his fear of God was the reason that he was faithful to everyone around him. You remember, when he's in Potiphar's house, in Genesis chapter 39, a Potiphar's wife desires him. And this is nice for a change, I think. He could have thought about all the bad times that he was going through. He could have thought how his brethren did not desire him. He was sold as a slave into a foreign country. He thought he would never see his family again. After all that he's been through, he might have thought that when Potiphar's wife desired him, "You know, I deserve a little pleasure. No one will ever find out. My master trusts me with everything. Every part of the house is under my care. All the servants answer to me. There's no way I can be caught. I'll go ahead and do this." He could have easily thought, "I deserve this. No one's going to find out. I'm not going to have any issues with Potiphar's wife by saying no. I want to please her as well." But he didn't think about any of that. Even if the person did not give in, it seems like, well, even if a person today I'm talking about did not give in, if he were in Joseph's situation, it seems like the reason would have been something like, "There's no way I can do this because if I get caught, I would lose my life. My master is a powerful man. He could torture me terribly for this. And there's no way I'm going to do this." But what was Joseph's reason for not doing this with Potiphar's wife. What did Joseph say? In Genesis 39, verse 9, he says, "How can I do this and sin against God?" Joseph was scared of sinning against God. He wasn't afraid of his master. He wasn't afraid of any other human being, but he feared God. He knew one day he would stand before God in judgment and give an account, and this is what motivated him to do right in every circumstance. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4 says, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." If we want to be successful, we need to have humility and we need to fear God. Joseph feared God, and he feared God always. We too must be motivated always to do what's right for judgment's sake. His fear of God led him to be faithful, but the next point that I want to mention here is that his fear of God not only caused him to be faithful, but it caused him to serve others. And so for this point, I put that he was friendly. It caused him to be friendly. Of course, there's no way he could have had a high standing with Potiphar or with the prison guard if he were not friendly, if he were not helpful, if he was not doing things for them, if he was not pleasant to be around. No one would want to put a person like that in charge of anything. But Joseph was friendly. But for a very specific account of his friendliness, consider his interaction with the baker and the butler. In Genesis chapter 40, in verse 7 particularly, he's going around, he is over all the prisoners, and he's going around taking care of his business, and he is observant to the disposition of those around him. And when he saw that the butler and the baker were sad, he desired to understand their sorrow so that he might be able to share with them in their sorrows. And there's no reason here that the butler and baker are important people. He just sees people that are hurting and he wants to help. He was a friendly person. He seeks to do whatever he can to help them. And in this case, he listens to their problems. They have a dream. He listens to their dream, and he helps them by interpreting their dreams. He also shows his true friendliness, and I think this is an important point, by telling them the truth, even though it is painful. No one wants to hear that they're going to die, of course. But he told them anyway, because it was the truth, and it was in their best interest. You might be familiar with Proverbs 27, verse 6, which says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." So he was friendly. Even when someone didn't want to hear the truth, or when it made someone uncomfortable, and no one even likes giving information that makes other people uncomfortable, he still showed how friendly he was by doing what was right for other people as well, telling them the truth, even though it hurts. So we see he was faithful, he feared God, he was friendly, but we also notice that he was forgiving. We obviously see this at the end of Joseph's account. In Genesis 45, in verse 5, he begs his brethren not to be grieved or angry with themselves. He wasn't going to hurt them, even though he was in a place of power. He could have done anything to them, because even Pharaoh did whatever Joseph said. But he forgave them. He didn't want them to be afraid. He didn't want them to be hurt. He was forgiving. But what about during the absence from his family, before he ever met his brethren? Can we see that he was forgiving in these times? Do you think he could have faithfully performed his duties if he had held the weight of what his brothers had done to him and constantly dreamed of getting even? Potiphar and Pharaoh seemed to trust him so much. Don't you think he could have taken a little vacation to visit his brothers? When all of Egypt was even at his disposal, he could have traveled with a few men and captured his brothers and put them in prison and made them slaves. He could have done that at any time, I believe, when he was under Pharaoh's charge. Because Pharaoh let him do whatever he thought was right. Now, do you know what he named his sons? I think this is significant because this shows his forgiving spirit. And he views how blessed he is instead of dwelling on the bad things that had happened in his life. He named his firstborn Manasseh. Manasseh means causes to forget. And he said, because the Lord caused him to forget his former life. And so he forgot what his brethren did to him. Not that he ever really forgot it, but that he didn't dwell on it. He didn't think about it. The Bible uses the same way with God when it tells about him remembering our sins no more. It's not that he doesn't remember what we had done, but he doesn't act upon it. He doesn't dwell on it. And so Joseph was the same way here. He names his firstborn Manasseh. God has caused me to forget. I have forgiven everything that has happened to me in times past. And then his secondborn was Ephraim, which means doubly blessed. Every morning, he would go and he would wake up his children, and he would remind himself, I've forgotten my past, and I am twice blessed now. God has really helped me out. I am extremely blessed. My past is forgotten. So he was forgiving. Think about a successful person today. Would anyone go anywhere successfully if he were wallowing in self-pity all the time? Or if they're constantly consumed with the idea of getting even? Or if they think the world is against them and everything's going bad? No one would be successful who is like that. Paul kind of says the same thing in Philippians chapter 3. You remember in the context, he is talking about forgetting the things that lies behind. He presses forward to what lies ahead. In fact, verse 13, it says, Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. So if we're going to be successful in this life, we have to be forgiving. Get rid of the past. Don't dwell on it. You can always learn from it and remember it, but you can't let it consume you. Joseph was in a situation that I think none of us have experienced. Have any of us been sold into slavery by our brothers? Have we been accused of rape and thrown into prison? You know, he could have easily been overcome by all the bad things that happened to him. But he was forgiving, and he put the past behind him. In fact, in talking about getting even, I've always been intrigued by the way people rejoice when they see the fall of their enemy. In Proverbs chapter 24, verses 17 and 18, it says, Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his anger from him. Even though this proverb wasn't written yet, Joseph understood that that's the way God was. He didn't want to get revenge. He didn't want his brethren paid back for what they did to him. But he was forgiven, and he forgot it. He didn't act upon it. The next thing that I have here in my notes is that he was fortified. And hopefully you understand what I mean by this word as we talk about it. It's easy to be faithful and to fear God and to forgive people occasionally. Everyone may do it at one time or another. But the point I want to make here is that he was fortified and that he never gave in. He was always faithful. He never entertained the thought of revenge. We never see that in his life. And I get this particularly from when Potiphar's wife is tempting him. In chapter 39, verse 10, we don't see Potiphar's wife tempting him now and then. But the text says, day after day, and Joseph never gives in. But even look at the whole of his life. He was constantly fortified, never gave in to temptations that we read about. He was nice to his father and his family, and look what happened. If he had only disobeyed his father, or at least turned back when he got to Shechem and not sought to follow his brothers to find out how they were doing, he would not have been sold as a slave. He might have been thinking like this, and like, you know, if I had not been so faithful, these bad things wouldn't happen to me. I think I'm going to give up. But he never did that. He was faithful to his master in Potiphar's house, and yet look what happened. He could have easily thought, you know, if I do good all the time, bad things are going to happen to me. Good guys finish last. This is just the way things are. He would, if he just wouldn't have done the bidding of Potiphar and gave in to Potiphar's wife, he wouldn't be in prison now. And so he could have been thinking this way. But does he ever think like that? He never learns from his past that bad things happen to good people. He always sticks with God. You know, a lot of times people talk about things like, you know, good guys don't win. If you can't beat them, join them. And as I talk about this, I'm reminded of Psalm 73. Psalm 73, I think, is a great psalm to know because he talks about, the psalmist talks about how wicked people prosper. And wicked people prosper. And he thinks about how wicked people prosper. And he dwells on that. And he says, I almost slipped. I almost stumbled. I almost started to join them. But he says there, in Psalm 73, then I remembered their end. Then I saw where they were going. And so Joseph was like this. He was fortified. He never gave in, even though it seemed like doing right always tended to hurt him. He knew that while it often looks like the wicked are winning in this life, that their end would be ruin. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 12 and 13 says, although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly, but it will not be well for the evil man, and he will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he does not fear God. It is so easy to do the right thing when we're blessed. It's so easy to do the right thing when good things come to us for doing the right thing. But when we have trial after trial and always struggling to do the right thing, temptation after temptation, we need to be fortified like Joseph was. Stand secure, stand strong. We must endure if we wish to be successful. There is no taking a break from righteousness. You know, like I said, a lot of times people do the right thing occasionally, randomly. If the stakes aren't too high, they'll do the right thing. But Joseph was fortified. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Kind of like the idea of fortified, my next point here is that he was farsighted. I like the idea. We sing a song that says, when ends life's transient dream? Life here that we see, the physical life around us, I would say in a sense it's not near as real as eternal life. This life is fading. All the things in this life are going to be burned up and destroyed, but eternal life is going to be forever. And so if someone is farsighted, it's hard for them to see things close up, but they can see things far away.
And I think spiritually, we need to be like this. We need to be looking more toward the future than toward things right now. You know, just naturally, it's easy for us to see the physical and not the spiritual because this is the life we live in. But we need to be thinking more of the future. One place it's easily seen that Joseph was farsighted is that he predicts Pharaoh's dream. And he tells him that there's going to be 7 years of plenty that are going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And then he tells Pharaoh, this is what you need to do right now to make preparations for the future. Joseph was looking to the future and making preparations now. We need to be about this as well. Looking toward the future and making preparations right now. Of course, when I mention Pharaoh's dream, that's still talking about the physical world. But we understand Joseph was not just worried about the physical future. He wasn't just worried about Egypt when all these things were taking place. But he was more concerned about the spiritual future. And I get this because this is why he was so faithful. This is why he feared God in everything that he did. This is why he refused to commit sin. He wanted a home in heaven. He was looking forward to that home in the future. He desires to lay up many treasures in heaven, and we need to be the same way. Any treasures we lay up here on earth are going to be destroyed, but heavenly treasures are eternal. And so we need to be far-sighted. The next thing that I have here is he was filled with the Spirit of God. This is said specifically when Pharaoh was talking about Joseph, Genesis chapter 41 and verse 38. He was filled with the Spirit of God. We need to understand that Pharaoh saw that Joseph had the Spirit of God in him. It was when he told Pharaoh what God said, because of having the message of God, Pharaoh said the Spirit of God is in him. When the phrase filled with the Spirit is used in the Bible, most of the time it is in connection with someone doing something that the Spirit of God leads them to do. And I think most of the time it talks about someone being filled with the Spirit and prophesying, being led by the Spirit of God to say something. Sometimes someone is filled with the Spirit of God and it causes them to do something, sometimes miraculously. The only time we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God is in Ephesians 5:19. But Ephesians 5:19 has a parallel passage, and you can look at these on your own and see how parallel they are, where it talks about singing and making melody in your heart, and then teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But Ephesians 5:19 is paralleled with Colossians 3:16. And if you put them side by side, you'll see that in Ephesians 5:19, when we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. For us to be filled with the Spirit is to let God's Word dwell in us richly. As I mentioned in the Bible, when someone is said to be filled with the Spirit or have the Spirit in them, it's usually right before God causes them to do something or causes them to say something. Well, God can still fill us and cause us to do things, but he doesn't do it through miraculous means anymore. And that's a whole nother lesson. But he does it through his Word. We read the Word of God. It changes our life and causes us to do things. That's being filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is what animates the body. If we read God's Word and God's Word causes us to do things, then God's Spirit is animating our bodies. And being filled with the Spirit of God will cause us to be prosperous. That's what we're looking at. We want to be successful. I think about Joshua chapter 1. I want to say verses 7 and 8 where he talks about how the words of Moses, the law of Moses, the commandment of Moses is not to depart from Joshua's mouth. He's to meditate on it day and night. And if he does this, he will be successful and prosperous in all that he does. The same thing is mentioned in Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. He's going to be successful. And that's what we're looking at. If we want to be successful, we need to be animated by God's Spirit. And in order for us to have that, to be filled with His Spirit, we have to be studying His Word. Now, there's no doubt that Joseph received revelation from God directly and through his upbringing, and he lived according to that. We should be the exact same way. We can receive direction from God through our upbringing, as our parents and Bible class teachers teach us what God says. But also we can receive God's word directly when we study it for ourselves. He speaks to us directly through the Bible, not in dreams and visions and not by audible voices that we hear, but through God's word. So he was filled with the Spirit of God. Just a couple more things that I have here in my notes. Earlier I mentioned that Joseph was faithful. But another point is that Joseph had great faith in God. He had faith in God. This is distinct from being faithful in everything that he did. He was faithful because of his faith in God. I think it's significant that Joseph never took praise, if that's the right word, for interpreting the dreams. He never said that it was his own wisdom that did it, or never even allowed people to say that about him. But he always freely confessed that he depended on God for these things. We see this in Genesis chapter 40, when he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. In verse 8, he says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Also in chapter 41, in verse 16, where Pharaoh says, "I hear you can interpret dreams." Joseph says, "It's not me, but God will give Pharaoh a good interpretation." So he shows his great faith in God. God's going to do this. Once we realize that it is God who has the power to give us all things, because all things are in His hand and He controls all things, then we will have faith in God as well. We need to make God real in our lives. We need to understand how powerful He is. Everyone says it. Everyone says they know it. But by our lives, we put more trust in doctors. We put more trust in money. We trust in things of this world instead of God. You know, if God wants us to be well, we will be well with or without medicine. If God wants us to be sick, we're going to be sick no matter what we do to try to fight it. I'm not saying medicines and doctors are bad, but I'm saying we need to put more faith in God. Once we realize God has the power to do all things, to give us all things, then we're going to be like Joseph. This is something that Joseph teaches us. God is working, and we should depend on Him to fulfill His promises in our own life. Joseph was successful because God was with him. And Joseph depended on God, never taking matters into his own hand. We could not obtain anything if it were not from God. Therefore, we should willingly place our lives into His hands and freely do whatever He desires us to do. That's what faith in God is. And this is what Joseph did. And this is what caused him to have success. His great faith in God leads me to my last point, which is he had favor of God. The most obvious reason Joseph prospered, and it's given throughout this account, is that God was with him. God caused him to be successful. God showed favor to him. I'm looking up a couple of verses here. In Genesis chapter 39, You remember he is in Pharaoh's house. And it says the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man when he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, it says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. Verse 5, it came to pass at that time that he made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for the sake of Joseph, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had. So he was successful because God was with him. In verse 21 of Genesis 39, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and he did, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. We turn over to chapter 45. And Joseph here is freely admitting that God did these things in Joseph's life. Joseph, talking to his brothers, tells them, don't be grieved, in chapter 45, verse 5. Don't be grieved, don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me here, but God sent me before you to preserve life. In verse 7 again of chapter 45, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity. So we see God did these things in Joseph's life. If we want to be successful, we've got to submit to God and let God work in our lives. No matter how hard we work to be successful, if God doesn't want us to be, we're not going to be. God has the power. Notice that Joseph never says, I've worked hard for these positions. I've earned these positions. I deserve it, unlike anyone else. In contrast to that, he says freely that God is the one that brought him here. God is the one who did these things. God does these things. Does this mean we can sit back and do nothing? Absolutely not. But all our efforts would be in vain if the Lord was not with us. In Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. God is the one that does things. If we put our faith in him, if we put our trust in him, then he can reward us and we can see benefits from our labors. Because he had submitted to God, God heard Joseph's prayer and God was willing to bless him. We also have a promise from God. Just like Joseph was told from God in his dreams early on that his brethren and his father would bow down to him, and it was fulfilled, we have a promise from God as well. And it doesn't necessarily involve earthly riches and earthly fame, but we will be blessed in the end. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, is a quote from Psalm 34, verses 15 through 17. It says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Their righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So we need to put our faith in God. We need to be faithful. We need to be fortified. We need to be forgiving. We need to be farsighted. We need to have all these things that I've mentioned here. And then God will have favor on us. Maybe you have not been this way in your life. You have not always done your best. You have not always feared God like you should. Maybe you failed to fortify yourself with God's word. Maybe you failed to study and be filled with his spirit. Maybe you've fallen away. You know it's not too late. You know it's never too late. As long as this life exists, you can come back to God. You can follow his will. You can repent. At some time, God's patience is going to run out, and that's going to be too late. But if you want to be successful, submit to God now. If you think of the most successful man you know, what comes to your mind? Maybe a businessman in a suit with lots of money. But I want you to know, if that man, the most successful man you know, misses heaven, he is as unsuccessful as the worst person you know. To be successful, you don't have to have a big house. You don't have to drive a fancy car. You don't have to have lots of money, a nice job. If you live for God and make up your mind, you're going to go to heaven no matter what hinders you. Getting to heaven, you are successful. If you don't get to heaven, you're not successful. That's the best thing you can do. If we can assist you in that through this program, or if you'd like to have help or anything we can do for you, you can let us know. But I encourage you just to study your Bible. Do what God wants in your life. If we can help you, you can call us at 1-844-367-8476. Or you can email me, Stephen@tgrn.org. That's Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, @tgrn.org, or mornings@tgrn.org. If we can help you in any way, we would love to hear from you. I hope you have benefited from this lesson. I hope you've been encouraged to seek the favor of God in your life. Thank you very much for listening.